have on the line our good friend Mary Pettinato from Honor Flight Chicago. And Mary, I know you need no introduction. How long have you been doing this? How long have you been in charge of Honor Flight?
For about 10 and a half years now.
Boy, I tell you, you've changed a lot of lives. I'm sure you hear that a lot from people.
It's such a privilege.
Now, this Honor Flight, we have an Honor Flight coming up August 8th. This is Flight 87 to Washington, D.C., and this is the 87th Honor Flight.
That's right.
Boy.
87 flights thus far, and hopefully many, many more to come.
Do you remember the first one and the second one and the third one? I mean, there's so many now. Are there Honor Flights that you've led and you remember certain stories from each one?
I do. There are so many great stories. You can't even imagine how many great stories there are. The veterans are able to communicate in such a way that when they speak, you can just see what they're saying. I just can't even describe it.
Tell us a little bit about this one.
This one's special. We've got a majority of Korean War veterans, 82 Korean War heroes on this flight. The average age is 87 for our Korean War veterans. And we have 8 World War II heroes on this flight. The average age is 95.
Wow. When you sent me the packet, I know it was literally 25 pages of heroes, which is what all of these veterans are, all veterans in general are. But these heroes, there's going to be 90 on this particular flight. Break down some of the numbers for us. How many World War II? How many Korean War?
8 World War II and 80 and 90 altogether. So 8 World War II and 82 Korean War veterans.
And I read that the oldest Army veteran from World War II is 98?
Yes.
The Army tech from Chicago comes in at the youngest, at the young age of 91.
81.
81, yeah.
We have Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard. So we're representing all branches of service except for the Merchant Marines, which were in World War II. The Merchant Marines were considered part of a branch of service for the war.
So 83 Army, 11 Navy, 17 Air Force, 8 Marines, and 1 Coast Guard. Tell us a little bit about the flight, Mary, and what they can expect. Kind of start us from the morning and what they're going to do all day.
Early morning, 4 a.m., the veterans arrive at the airport. And as one veteran said, the only reason I get up for 4 a.m. is to take care of my prostate. Instead, they arrive thinking that, you know, they're the only ones there and they just want their cup of coffee and leave them alone. And there are 250 people waiting at attention to greet these heroes and to make sure that they're taken care of and that they're checked through security and that they're at the gate enjoying a cup of coffee and a donut and enjoying the tunes of the 40s and the 50s. So they arrive early. We have guardians. We have a one-to-one ratio all day in Washington, D.C., so guardians whose job is to make sure that the veterans have the best and safest day of their life are also there to greet them. Many are traveling with their family members, and many are not, and all of them are treated just with the utmost respect and dignity that you could give any World War II or Korean War hero. So we get to the gate where we're listening to the tunes of the 40s and 50s. We get on the plane. Now we're at 6:45 in the morning. The plane takes off. Most of the pilots of Southwest Airlines and every airline for that matter are retired military. So they fight to get a chance to fly 90 World War II and Korean War heroes. So it's great fun. They introduce themselves to each and every veteran. They call in the Air Force guys to show them the cockpit as it is today, and a great bantering going on. And then the plane lands at Dulles Airport near Washington, D.C. in Virginia. And we have a police escort whipping us through the streets of the city so that we don't get stopped at all along the way. It's a one-day trip, and there's no value in being stopped for traffic. So we've got a police escort in the front and the back. Imagine 5 motor coach buses and a police escort whipping us through the streets. And so everyone has to pull over, and they look up to see what kind of a rock and roll band this is. This has got to be a rock and roll band. And they see 98-year-olds saluting them.
They are rock stars. They really are.
They are rock stars.
Oh, that's so cool. This has to be just such a huge moment for them.
You know, it's fascinating when they arrive at in the morning. One veteran said it best, I think. He said, "I arrived at the airport, a sleepy, crotchety old Navy veteran. I returned home that night an American hero." They really do get excited, and it's fascinating to me because the World War II veterans have been thanked over and over again in some fashion for their service, but our Korean War veterans, we just started calling it a war. We've been calling it a conflict for years. The Korean War veterans have never been recognized, never been thanked for their service during the war. So they truly are the most shocked and they emote more than I've ever seen of anyone, just from excitement and just from the thrill of finally, many, many years later, being recognized for their service.
Mary, you put an all call out every year, a couple of times a year, for the World War II veterans. That's how it started, I believe, right? And then you opened it up to Korean War, and now it's kind of flipped. You have more Korean War veterans than World War II veterans.
That's right. That's right. We did an Operation Locate a Hero, and for 2.5 years we had volunteers everywhere scanning every place they could find a World War II hero that we flew. So we've flown over 6,200 World War II heroes, and now the chance is to fly as many of our Korean War heroes as we can.
When was the flip made? Because I remember when I was on the morning show with Steve Cochran, you would come on, and it was mainly World War II, and you said, we really have to put an all-call out for the Korean War veterans, too. When did the switch kind of take place?
Well, it's interesting. The first day that we received applications in March of 2008, I remember I was opening the mail, and it said, activity during World War II, and the veteran wrote, grammar school. And I remember very confused over that answer.
Right, right.
So some of our first applicants were Korean War veterans, but when it began to switch would be in 2016, we announced we were flying Korean War veterans, but that World War II veterans had precedence, that they were flown first. And so in 2016, the first few flights, we had many, many more World War II veterans than Korean War veterans, and it began to change with each flight, sadly.
Every vet has somebody assigned to them throughout the day. So if someone maybe wants to apply to be on the future honor flight and they have concerns about getting around or maybe just being mobile. Okay, good.
We call them guardians. And our guardians are from Chicago. They're dedicated volunteers. Primarily in Chicago, they're family members. So we invite veterans who may be farther along with advanced medical needs than a layman or a stranger would be able to help. So we invite family members to attend to their dads or moms and make sure that they have the best and safest day. In addition, we have guardians that travel with the veteran all day from Washington, D.C. So we have many, many active duty military that can't wait for this privilege of honoring if you're Navy and you get, you know, a 98-year-old Navy sailor, and you're a Navy recruit, just finished boot camp. You know, what a great joy to be able to see that baton being passed and to share stories of their time during the war. So we have also active duty military that attend to our veterans. So we have over a 1-to-1 ratio. For every one veteran, we have at least one guardian.
That's amazing. And what will they see when they get to D.C.? What monuments?
When they get to D.C., we go to the Air Force Memorial, which overlooks the entire city of Washington, D.C., and it's the newest memorial built. Then we go to the World War II Memorial, this beautiful, stately, large memorial that overlooks the Washington Monument on one side and the Lincoln Korean and Vietnam Memorial on the other. Then we go to the Lincoln Korea and Vietnam Memorial. And again, none of this is a rush. This is not about rushing to see the next spot. It is a leisurely trip with senior war heroes. So the third stop of the day is the Lincoln, Korean, and Vietnam Memorial. And at that stop, some of the veterans see just their Korean memorial. Others see just the Lincoln Memorial, and some see all three. But almost all of us can be found at the concession stand having a Dove bar at the end of the day and just sharing stories.
Absolutely. That's where I would be, too. I'm going to take one of these one day.
Yeah. The last stop of the day is the Udvar Hazy Air and Space Museum, where the Enola Gay is housed, and the space shuttle Discovery is there, and the fastest plane in the world is there. It's a beautiful, beautiful stop.
It's a beautiful day. It's a full day. And I also want to ask you, too, I was looking through all the prep that you sent me, and it's almost like a booklet, the veteran interviews. So this is Flight 87 on August 8th of 2018. There's a quote from General Patton. And I'm going to read the quote because I think it's very moving. It says, "The soldier is the army. No army is better than its soldiers. The soldier is also a citizen. The highest obligation and privilege of citizenship is that of bearing arms for one's country." And that's General Patton. So this starts off the booklet. Do they get each a copy of the booklet where it has all of their bios?
They do not each get a copy of the booklet. They get a copy of their veteran interview. Because we don't want any veteran to feel as if they were less than. So they get a copy, a private copy of their veteran interview. So we pick, just based on the number of volunteers we have available, we pick 10 to 15 veterans that we go to their home and we sit for 2, 3, 4 hours and we interview them. And then we write up a 2-page article about where the veteran served, what the veteran did, just an interesting story. I remember one where the application for the medic said, I never saw the front lines. I'm really not worthy. And then he told this story. He went by the name of Doc, and he got up in the middle of the night to go to the latrine, and he was talking to the sentry there, and he said, what do you think is going on over there? And he pointed at the water tower, World War II veteran, looking up at a water tower, and on the water tower were two Germans scaling the water tower with poison in their backpacks.
And he essentially stopped them.
They stopped it and saved the entire camp just thanks to this fellow going to the bathroom.
And he literally thought he wasn't worthy. I'm telling you, Mary, reading these stories, and thank you, because I really was reading through a lot of these. There's a gentleman who was a cook on a ship during World War II, receiving a Purple Heart. The highest-ranking officer is an Army captain in Naperville who was a combat engineer in Korea. Master sergeants from Tinley Park, all over the area. I was moved just reading. Every story was better than the next one, Mary.
Isn't that amazing? And that's a volunteer that coordinates all of the different volunteers to go to the different locations and then puts this beautiful document together. Len Sherwinski, one of our dedicated volunteers, spends about 100 hours per flight every 4 weeks as a volunteer.
Don't you find it interesting, at least from my vantage point, too? My father was a private first class in the U.S. Army for 6 years, 4 years in and then 2 years reserve. And when he passed away, I remember him saying to my mom, they were going to have the honor guard, and he said, no, I don't deserve that. I didn't go overseas. And she said, oh, my gosh, I just see story after story that most of these veterans who served our country, and many of whom, of course, gave the ultimate sacrifice, but those who served our country just feel either unworthy or not deserving of something that they are more than deserving, more so than perhaps anybody.
Isn't that amazing? We see it time and time again that it's, their comment is, it's not about me, it's about those that paid the ultimate sacrifice. Or, I am going on this trip to honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. It's not about me, though. I didn't do anything. They did.
Well, they're very humble, and they are all deserving. There's 90 veterans on this flight. Mary Pettinato, if people want to get more information, tell us what to do.
Please go to honorflightchicago.org, honorflightchicago.org, or call us at 773-227-8387. So we normally have 7 flights per year. Although we have 2,000 plus veterans on our waiting list right now, we only could do 6 flights this year. So we are working around the clock to raise enough money that next year we will be able to do 7 flights again. We are currently flying World War II and Korean War veterans, and we expect very soon to be also flying Vietnam heroes. So all of our veterans are heroes, but I am eager to also honor our Vietnam veterans.
Mary, thank you so much for your time. And again, it's honorflightchicago.org. Thank you for the tireless work that you and your entire staff, that you, it's a huge undertaking. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Have a safe
Thanks
flight, Mary.
Spread the word.
You bet. We'll talk to you very soon. Have a great flight.
Thank you.